Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And then again, he picks that up. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Well, if you're listening to this meditation, you probably already have some very significant religious sentiments. What might conversion of your life mean in this year of mercy? At first, we think of mercy in terms of a lenient judgment. Someone takes into account all the pressures and circumstances that surround a person's behavior and makes an appropriate accommodation in establishing the true condition of that person's soul. This may not be leniency at all, but a simple application of the intent of the law to a person's spiritual state. During the changing times of Vatican II, it was, of all people, a canon lawyer who was most helpful to me. He would say, "This is the intent of the law. Now, make an intelligent application." Really a good thing. I'm a person. Be careful about measuring me with inflexible categories. Somehow we have to really respect the dignity of each person. I think that we might expand our opportunities for conversion if we hear again the traditional expression of the varieties of mercy that can take place and the skills that they generate. You know them by heart under the titles of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Hear again the corporal works of mercy: to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, heal the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead. For me, this opens up all sorts of possibilities, not just to obey rules, but to enter into a more significant and creative engagement with the life of another person and the needs of our world. The spiritual works of mercy further expand the probabilities of our satisfactory and creative behavior. To counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive offenses, bear patiently with those who do us ill, to pray for the living and the dead. My goodness, that makes us pretty alive on almost every level. Sometimes we're weighed down with the impression there are so many ways of doing something wrong, maybe only one way of doing good or obeying the law. A full expression of the possibilities of mercy, I think, explode this impression. Rather than living in a small world of rules, this fuller articulation of the varieties of mercy leads us into an extraordinarily rich realization of life's blessings. Bringing the possibilities of mercy along with us as we stay with a person or circumstance until our behavior or conflict resolves itself in a creative way, that's what we really need. I struggle with a street person who shows up at our parish almost daily and often exhibits some pretty bizarre behavior. I don't think it's mercy to let him impose his eccentric behavior on any and all. He's mentally ill and is addicted to alcohol and drugs and has been beaten down by years of hard life on the streets. On the other hand, he's very intelligent. His demons plunge him into terrible pain and isolation. I try to confront him with Irish mercy. I will not let him play his games or inflict his sufferings on others. But I will not give up on him and try to convey in very strong terms that I recognize something of the goodness at the very depths of his being. Lately, we've almost reached a point where we might be able to get him off the streets, but there are so many factors involved that this could fall apart at any moment. I've recently discovered that some of the parishioners have picked up on the needs of this suffering servant who vacillates between brokenness and the desire for some sort of decent life. They're streetwise, and they will not let him play his game. Sometimes mercy has a determined face. Yet this expression of mercy by the larger community creates a kind of objectivity that's just what my friend needs. I found that you can't heal a person all by yourself. but the blending of compassion among members of the community can give just what is needed for a life of decency and hope. With the encouragement and example of Pope Francis, we're discovering how mercy can bring hope to some of the almost impossible situations that we encounter in modern life. A community of mercy, a parish alive with the awareness of what true healing requires, can sometimes bring some of the conditions of sanity and hope to the cruel isolation of addiction, illness, spiritual loneliness that is all too evident in modern society. Sometimes mercy is not an obligation that we fulfill, but a surprising discovery that we happen upon in our brothers and sisters when we love them. The surprise of mercy generates a sanity that opens the way to the realism of holiness. Well, I just have to tell you my old story of mercy once again. As kids in East Oakland, we all played football in the streets. It was most enjoyable and usually worked out any of the conflicts that arose peacefully. But on one occasion, when I was 14 or 15, we got into a dispute with Harry from down the street and ended up threatening one another with rocks in our hands, really just posturing. At this moment, Harry's father came out of the house and got involved. Well, one thing led to another. Normally, we never threw rocks, and really never involved parents, and they had the good sense to stay in the house. This was just plain wrong. But the argument escalated, and in no time, I was standing on the sidewalk with a rock in my hand, and really just a pebble, and the adult was yelling at me to drop the rock. To let him know just who he was talking to, I sent the rock down the sidewalk about 5 feet to his left. In no time, he had me in a headlock and was frog-marching me up the sidewalk. Then my father appeared on the front porch and yelled, "Get your hands off that kid!" My father was a truck driver. He complied. I walked up on the porch and he said, "Get in the house." I'd never been so wrong in my life. Now, the mercy of all this was that my parents never said a word about it. Somehow they knew that I knew how wrong I had been. And for an Irish family to resist making remarks was a mercy of the highest order. I felt valued as never before. During these days, may mercy, in surprising ways, bless your life as well.